welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
Praise God. Well, I'm going to, for a short time this morning, thank you. I'm going to turn you to, I've been exercised with this. It's a passage I hope you know well. You should know well. But I'm going to turn you to 2 Corinthians 5. If you have your Bibles, and if you have your notepads, write down those thoughts. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, and we're going to read from verse 17, I think. Verse 17 through to verse 25. Our Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you that it's sharper than a two-edged sword. We thank you it's able to accomplish all whereunto you have sent it. We thank you it's a divider of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents and the hearts of men and women. Lord, today, by your Spirit, deposit its truth within our lives, within our hearts, within our minds. And as a result, let our lives be so affected and changed that you are glorified and people are able to be blessed because you're alive in us. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, say that with me, will you? Therefore, if anyone, say that loud. If anyone, say it really loud. If anyone, is that awesome? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us, to you and me, the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Isn't that an awesome passage? We know it. But isn't it an awesome passage? He made Jesus to be sin, that we, you and I and anyone else, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. To be righteous is an awesome thing. To be righteous is to be like God. That word righteousness, if I narrowed it down to a simple way of expressing, what is the righteousness of God? Well, the righteousness of God is something that has not been contaminated and cannot dwell where sin is, where rebelliousness is. The righteousness of God isn't the ways of man. The righteousness of God is a dimension that has been not at all, and listen to me carefully now, contaminated with sin. That's the righteousness of God. God is righteous. Sin has never stained my Father. Sin has never touched him. And the righteousness of God is simply that. And the Bible says that we have been made the righteousness of God, untouched by sin. Glory to God. Sin hasn't touched us. You say, Pastor, but that's not true. I can tell you how much sin has been in my life. I'm not talking about you and I or anyone else who hasn't been born again. I'm talking about those who are born again. This promise, this word of God that's spoken to us through by Paul to the church at Corinth is talking to those who have been born again. They are a new creation. Hallelujah. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That's what we've just read. We're a new creation. Hallelujah. Untouched by sin. That's a powerful thing. Think about that for a moment. Are you worthy to be in that position today? Look at your life. Look at mine. Let's look at our life over the last few days. Let's look at our life over the last week. Let's look at the way we do function when we're privately on our own and when we're those that we can get away with it, and at times when we are with those that we can't get away with it. But there is something in us that makes this stuff come right up deep from within us, comes out of our mouth, and it's a mouthful, which does not glorify God because it's been stained with sin. The Bible says there that we have been made, born again people, have been made the righteousness of God, untouched by sin. Now don't hear me clearly. I am not saying, nor does the Bible say, that everybody is untouched by sin. Who's untouched by sin, according to the Word of God? Those who are born again. They have another life. Hallelujah. I am not who I was. We've just read that. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. I'm a new creation in God. If you're born again today, you and I, we're a new creation in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're not happy. Oh my goodness, what would it take you people to magnify the Lord? Jump on your seats, and Ryan might not be happy with that, but and praise the Lord. Why don't you think about getting liberated when you come to the house of the Lord? Why don't you think about coming to the house of God and doing a jig like that? Because when you're praising God, something rises up within you and says, hallelujah, I'm a new creation. All things have passed away. I've been born again. We've just read that. I'd love you to shock me sometime and act like you're born again in the house of God and you're so happy because you're not going to hell, you're going to heaven, and it's all because of Father. Are you hearing me? I'm telling you, it's God. My Father's real. I don't come to church for church. I come to church, as you heard me, I am the church, and you're the church. And the church is only as strong as we are strong. The church can only be seen as the church as we allow people to see the church here. Can't happen any other way. And the righteousness of God. Righteousness. What is this righteousness? I can't get over that. Not when I dwell on it. Not when I meditate upon it. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm going to read it. Say, I'm going to quote it to you again. All old things have passed away. Hear that? That's what my word says. That's what I live by and I believe. And I'm not perfect. I'm only perfect in Christ. I've dropped the ball that many times. It would shock you. But I have an advocate with the Father. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ the righteous. Whenever I need, because I've spilt something over my nice spiritual clothing, I bring it to the Father and I say, Father, cleanse me in the blood. Renew me. I'm alive in you. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That's not something you can work out in your mind. It's something you can only experience in your spirit man, which it comes through your life. And if your spirit man is dead, then your life is dead. Your body is dead to the things of God. You are open up only to the corruption that surrounds you and the people that are around you. But when your body is alive in God, the Spirit of the Lord is there, and you are a new creation. Hallelujah. Old things have passed away. And when they come back to you and they touch you in some shape or form, you know that's old stuff and you abhor it. You don't want it. It's old stuff. I'm a new creation. I wear a different garment. I wear different clothes. I function in a different way. I'm being made over anew. I wasn't able to walk this way before. Sin abound. Sin caught hold of me. Sin came in different ways.
Praise God, but now I'm a new creation. They don't come. But when they do come, if they come, they have no place in me because I'm a new creation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sin has not touched me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Think of it. Think of it. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The only way I'm righteous, the only way I'm like God, the only way that I am able to say I'm like God is because in Christ Jesus, He did something that I couldn't begin to understand, but He, the Son of God, understood, God the Father knew, that there was a way to redeem me unto Himself, and it was only through one means, and that was the shedding of spotless blood. And that blood was shed, and today I'm a new creation. I'm not who I was. I am not who I was. And if you're born again today, whether you know it or not, whether you've just read it in the scriptures and you've read it and you've not done much with that, I want to tell you, if you're born again, you are a new creation. Listen to me, old things have passed away. Leave them where they are. Don't carry them with you. Don't say, well, I've got to gather all my belongings with me because I'm doing this or I'm moving here or I'm changing my ways. Leave them where they are. All things have passed away. Not part of my life. Praise God. They're not going to touch me. Praise the Lord. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Thank you, Lord. You know, we have a problem. I'm going back up here. Because it helps me get fit walking up those big steps there. You know, we have a problem. Our problem is that we don't believe it. And so we don't act like it. Our problem is that this word here, sin, that's our problem. You see, we know ourselves. I know me. You know you. You know the things you've got up to. You know the things you're getting up to today. And that's a problem for us Christians if you don't handle it correctly, if you don't deal with sin. The problem is this. You have a sin consciousness. And we're all aware of this. We are conscious of sin. We are conscious when we drop the ball. We are conscious when we do wrong things. We are conscious when we say wrong things. We are conscious when we behave in a wrong. We are conscious of it. And that all goes under one heading. Sin. In other words, we have a sin consciousness. We feel unclean. We feel really not deserving. We feel, and the enemy's shut our mouth. Because how can I share this word of love with this person who needs that love, but who knows me and knows the way I've been living? So sin consciousness shuts our mouths. We become useless in the hand of the Lord. We have a sin consciousness. We are conscious of sin. And God wants to do something other than that. God wants us to have a righteousness conscience. That's what he says here. I'm going to reread. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, anybody in Christ here, would you raise your hand? Sin consciousness and a righteousness conscience. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. In my Bible, I've underlined those two words, new creation. I'm a new creation. I can't read it. I can't even turn to that page without that jumping out of the page to me. I'm a new creation. Praise God. Old things have passed away. Have passed away. Old things have gone. Let it go. It's away. Behold, all things have become new. Emphasis is on the all. A-double-L. All things have become new. Praise the Lord. Now all things are of God. So we need to get rid of our
sin consciousness, and we need to get hold of a righteous consciousness. Because if you're saved today, you are righteous. Not by your merits, but you are righteous. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? You are the righteousness of God, in fact. You are righteous. And it was made possible through, and we all know it, through the price that was paid on the cross by our Lord Jesus Christ, that precious blood that was shed. And even before the blood was shed, the humiliation and the shame that he had to go through to forgive us our sins, because we've acted shamelessly and in a degrading manner most of our lives in some shape or form. And the enemy has had his claws in us. Some he's got them deeper in than others, because it's been harder for him to get them into some people's lives. But he gets his hands upon us, and he stains and he mars us. But the precious blood of Jesus cleanses us, cleanses us, cleanses us. Listen, that's just, I'm quoting the scriptures. Cleanses us from all sin. Listen to it. Cleanses us. No stain. The righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The devil's scared to death of a person who knows that they're righteous. He can't blackmail them. He can't have us say, I know I'm a guilty sinner. Because I'm not a guilty sinner now. I'm redeemed. I'm a new creation. Glory to God. We need to get the boxing gloves on with the enemy, and he needs to be punched in the face every time. He acts in a way, makes us think in a way that we are not who God says we are. That's given that we're born again. We are the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. We are not sin-stained. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansed us from the stain of sin. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I'm the righteousness of God. A lot of people have a difficulty with, you know, that statement and walking through a week or a month or a year or life as the righteousness of God. Those who are not acquainted with guilt, those that are not acquainted with wrongdoing, those that have been washed clean, hallelujah, they have a real problem with it. And the enemy works hard at making us think in a way that we shouldn't be thinking, because we have a renewed mind. Our mind is renewed by the truth of the Word of God. Our mind is renewed by the promise of God in Christ Jesus. That's how our mind is renewed. Why the Bible says, think on these things, whatsoever things are good, lovely, honest, true, pure, of good report. Think on these things. Don't think on the things the devil wants to put in your head, saying you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty. If he's saying that, then get hold of the thing he's saying to you're guilty of and put it under your foot. So no more can he communicate to us. With the guilt, with the righteousness of God. You know, the righteousness of God is something that a lot of Christians find hard to take hold of. They are righteous in God. In other words, that word righteousness, it is not related to sin and the stain of sin. The mark of sin is no longer there. You know what a pauper is? A pauper is a penniless person, yes? Needs to beg. A pauper. A pauper is somebody that has great need and need finance. If that guy or woman who's a pauper gets a job and starts earning money on a regular basis, they're no longer a pauper. They've got money. What they do with it is up to them, but they're no longer a pauper. Is that correct? Though they might, even though they've got a job, at times have difficulty with shortage of money every now and then. Maybe they spend wrongly or spend, you know, but they are no longer a pauper, even though they've got some problems. Well, listen, church, you and I, the Bible says, have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And just like the pauper, the minute he had a job, he was no longer a pauper. Praise God.
haven't got a job. I don't need a job not to be any more unrighteous, because I have been made righteous by the finished work of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. He made a way for me, and he gave me all that he was and all that he possessed, and he made it mine. I am one in Christ with you. Hallelujah. And the glory goes to God, who has purposed to bless us. I'm going to turn you to one scripture, and then I want to diversify because my time's gone so quickly. I'm going to turn you to Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. Living in days when the enemy is going to continue to accuse you more and more of being an unrighteous person. Your unrighteousness is not based upon what you do. Your righteousness is based upon what Christ has done for you. And as you walk in the light of that, your life will change. Not only will you know the joy of being free from that guilt, but Christ has carried it for you. Romans 1, I want to take you just to a great passage in verse... You know, Romans 1, I'm sorry. I don't know why I said Romans 1. I'm looking for 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Yes. Verse 29 and 30. I've got to go to 28. Base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you, as of Christ, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And of course, that's what we do all the while. Let me remind you of what that really means, that Paul was able to declare to us we are really a new creation in Christ, that we are able to stand as those stand in the very presence of God, as those who are innocent, those who are not guilty. We can stand there in the presence of God and not be embarrassed. We can stand there and be those who, because we're not guilty, be free in his presence. There is no guilt, there is no shame. We can stand there in his presence not with a sense of any inferiority. Hallelujah. Because we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Say it with me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, you're not going to like this. Your flesh isn't going to like this. Your carnal, unsaved mind isn't going to like this. That makes you like God. And there's a lot of people that will maybe hear this podcast somewhere down the road, won't like it either. I'm like, they hate it. But I want to tell you, I have been made, my Bible tells me, the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Not by merit, by the precious blood of Jesus that was shed. I was brought to a place, my God, where I am not a guilty sinner. Hallelujah. Old things have passed away. I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation. It's not a created being as we know it to be. It's a spirit man that lives inside of me. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation. I'm not measured by what you see on the outside. I'm measured by what's in the inside. And yes, it does reflect on the outside, but it's a work of grace wrought by the grace, great love of God through Jesus Christ for me and for whoever believes. Praise God, saved, sanctified, can stand before God. I want to pass on just very quickly. But let me drive it home a little bit more, if I may. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus if you're born again. You are. Stop looking at your guilt and your shame. And if there's areas that when you say that you are the righteousness of God, you feel guilty over, write them down. Write them down. Write them down, because the enemy is using those as arrows in your heart. You won't get past them. If it's you declare before God, you're the righteousness of God. That's not on your merit, that's on the merit of Jesus. That's not because you deserved it, it's because Jesus earned it for you by what he went through. Say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And anything that comes into your thinking that makes you want to say, I'm not, write it down. That's the next thing on your list that you're going to write off, right out of your life. You're going to deal with it once and for all. So the enemy has no accusation to bring against you. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. And so, yes. I was turned when I was praying, Lord, what direction do we take on Sunday morning? And it was the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God, church. Don't let any weaknesses in your life, any circumstances that you've allowed to become part of your life that perhaps shouldn't be, don't allow those to be used by the enemy to control your life. There's a greater than that. It was a shedding of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, who has cleansed us from all sin. Praise God. You get a mind that praises God, not a sin consciousness. You're not a sinner. You're saved by the grace of God in Christ. You are a new creation. I want to close with just bringing something to you that I was reminded of through the week, and I just sense it was very relevant. 7 years ago, some of you may remember, 7 years ago, God speaks to me, it seemed, a lot at night time and in various settings. But this time, 7 years ago, and I did share it with the church, God woke me up and as I woke up, I don't know whether I was in a dream or I had an open vision. I really, to this day, do not know it, but I'll never, ever, ever forget it. And I woke and I found myself in this place. It doesn't sound like a strong word. I'd like to think of a stronger word, but amidst a multitude of people, I'm talking about, I couldn't even begin to suggest how many there were. A multitude of people, and they were Christian people. It was so evident that they were praising God and they were worshiping. And I found myself amongst these people, and there was such a spirit there. It was so gentle. It was so sweet. It was so warm. It was so peaceful. It was so reassuring. Any and every word I could try and find to say, it's the atmosphere you would want to live in. So beautiful. So beautiful. There was no animosity, nobody talking behind backs. So they were all in one accord. And I could only at this stage just say, in a state of overwhelming worship. The next thing I became aware of, say there was no gaps, it was just all seemed to happen at once, and was I was in this place, and it was a large place. And it was a sort of place, it was unable to really to define whether what I'm going to say now is actually what was there. But it was a sort of place, if you had a big place like this, or a lot bigger, and you want to be able to have different groups of people, and you can have sliding doors or things like that, or panels that you could move to make an area bigger. And it seemed like that, but as I was caught up in this atmosphere, and again, as I'm reliving it even now, it's a spiritual atmosphere. It was, when I say a spiritual atmosphere, it was an atmosphere that if I had to pick up a phrase and say what I would say it was the presence of God. I can't describe it any other way. I rarely have experienced anything like that. And it was magnified by the multitude of people that were there. And they were praising God. I don't know whether this had been part of a huge seminar and preach. I had no idea of that. But I was caught up with this place. And you've got to remember, I'm either in an open vision or in a dream. So I'm conscious of all of these people, and then I'm conscious, the next thing is, of the vastness of this place. It is so big. It's so big, and I was looking around and just unable hardly to see, couldn't see any walls. There were walls, you know. And as I looked at all of this and watched around, I remember the next thing, I thought, how can this be? How can this be? Because there was a roof on it. And how could this place be so big, so expansive, got a roof on it, when I can't see anything there that's supporting a roof? How could this be? It was amazing. It was incredible. I knew I was somewhere out of this world. And as I continued to ponder it, looking to find out, where is this place, and what is this place, and I started asking questions, how can this be when I can't see anywhere around as far as the eye could see where that's supporting this roof? And as I think I said at the time, I just sensed, Lord, are you trying to say something to me and tell me something? And with that, when I asked him, what are you trying to say to me, He took my mind to Hebrews, and he took my mind to Hebrews chapter 1 firstly, and Hebrews chapter 1 talks about Christ who upholds all things by the word of his power. And I don't know how all this fitted in, but God was speaking to me and instructing me in this, and he was answering my question. I don't understand how all this works. And then he drops that verse into my heart. Jesus, who upholds all things by the word of his power. He upholds all things. You don't need to be able to see the walls. Just know it's taken care of in Christ Jesus. It's all been handled. It's all been done. They're my additions just this morning. So he was making me aware that, yeah, you can't see any of that. You don't understand it. That's like everything. You don't understand hardly any of this stuff. And I'm quick to put my hand up. And as I stayed in his presence, and I was aware of this, and as he started to speak to me, let me just stop here long enough to say, I thought I had arrived with some level of understanding, but I tell you what I got, I had a whole great download of, and that was this. I don't have to know how. With my God, nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing shall ever be impossible. I don't have to know how. And I still trip up over that every now and then, by the way. And I still think I've got to find a way. But my God, there's nothing impossible to him. And you only need to remember that. It wasn't just for me, that's for us, that's for the church. But not just this church, for the redeemed of the Lord. And It seemed the next thing I became aware of were these people. And the only impression I had was that it had been part of a huge, huge conference of some sort. Because now the people seemed to be streaming one way, heading out for exit. The meeting was over or whatever it was, and they were all going out. And as they were going out, they were singing. I did share this. Can anyone remember me sharing this? It was 7 years ago. Okay, that's all right. And the next thing I was aware of, these people were seemingly moving away now, going, as far as I was concerned, this way. And they were pressed together. There was a dense crowd of people, whatever had been taking place. And there was such harmony. I'll never forget it. There was such unity. It was, you'd want to cry. It's something indescribable. It's something so precious. And the unity and whatever was taking place was all because of one thing. It seemed like God Almighty was there. And they were coming and they were singing a song. They were all singing this song. I'll never forget it. I heard them singing it. I heard the tune. I'll try and sing the tune to you in a minute. They were all singing, and they were angelic. I know you think, oh, Pastor, you're laboring. I'm not doing justice. I want to communicate to you, if no other way, through the spiritual sense of what God was communicating that day. They were walking together so closely packed, so harmoniously, purposefully, and they were all singing this beautiful sound, all one. And they were singing, here I go, whether I'm free or not, Lord. Well, they were singing it. Whether I'm free or not, Lord, whether I'm free or not, Lord, whether I'm free or not, Lord, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. I'll never forget it. It's just like I was there then. That's exactly the tune. That's exactly what they sang. And they sang in harmony. And hallelujah, I want to tell you, you know, church, we're the devil's robbing us of knowing the freedom we've got in the Lord. Freedom from guilt. And it's because we won't let go our own ways. It's because we are unwilling to die. It's we're unwilling to trust Him with what seems, as far as our carnal thinking and the world's standards concerned, you wouldn't do a thing like that. Well, you can trust Him. I understand so much today, like I've just made those comments there, when I was asking, Lord, you know, how can this be? And He took me to Genesis. As I say, I don't know whether it was an open vision or I was asleep in a dream. To Hebrews 1. Talks about Jesus, who upholds all things by the words of His mouth, the words of His power. But He was communicating something to me. And that something was this, that it doesn't matter what circumstance you find yourself in. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how bad it is or how not so bad it is. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You're free in God. You have been cleansed. You have been delivered. Praise God. You are now indwelt by the Spirit of the Lord. You are a new creation. You are and I are not who we were. And we've got to stop acting like it, walking like it, talking like it. And I found the best way to do that is to not to talk the way the world talks. Over many years, God's convicted Hillary and I of the confession of our mouth, what comes out of it. We have endeavored, I'm not saying we haven't failed at times. I'm sure we have. Have we? Sure we have. But we've confessed, we've agreed to confess, not any circumstance, but what this word says. What this word says. And I believe this morning that God wants us to know that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. Sin is not part of our makeup. It's been totally removed by one overwhelming, powerful force that cannot be bettered. The precious blood of God the Father through the Son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The blood has paid the supreme price for you and I. By faith, we can speak the word, quote the word, declare the word in any circumstance. We are free. We are free. Don't go back. Don't let sin stain you again. Don't let the ways of the past stain you again. You're a new creation. Start finding out what the Bible says about a new creation. You might want to go to
You might want to go to the 9 fruit of the Spirit. You might want to look at them again. Because I want to tell you the fruit of the Spirit of God is the fruit and the evidence of that precious blood at work. I am now the righteousness of God. Look at the 9 fruit. Make sure they're in your life. And start applying that word to your life. And watch what happens. You are the righteousness of God. You are. You are. Your mind finds it difficult to understand because we know what sin is. We know what sin is. But listen, there's something greater than sin. It's the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. And when you and I receive that, hallelujah, we are new creation people. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that He will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.